Worship the creation versus the creator. Okay, does anybody, all you got to do is take the how many verses there are in each chapter and times it times six, and you see how many more weeks we have as we continue on through Ephesians, verse by verse. Word by word, yeah, right. Anyway, we're in Ephesians 1:5. And so what we're going to look at today is this section. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So, last week we looked at the why of being predestined. Now we look at what for us being chosen. And the emphasis here is on what versus who. You're predestined to do something. Versus be something. So we looked at the be something, remember? You all remember that one, right? Having predestined us. And now it's the do something, an eternal purpose. What is it? Well, let me read you something about Moody here. D.L. Moody, I don't know if you knew this, but he was the president of the Chicago YMCA and had a central role in building the first YMCA building in America. So, he was struggling with what God was calling him to do. He knew that he had to decide between being a social, religious organizer through the YMCA and being an evangelist. Deep down, Moody felt that God was calling him to a national evangelistic ministry, but rejected the idea because his ego was tied up in the Chicago projects. Fancy that. So, on October 6, 1871, as they met for prayer, he rolled on the floor and tearfully asked God to baptize him with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, that night, after they were done with their time in the YMCA building, following his little sermon that he gave, there was a sound of fire engines rushing past the hall, and shouting could be heard in the streets, and Moody hurriedly closed the service, and he and Ira Sankey, who was his worship leader, left through the back door and saw flames reaching the sky in the southwest, upwind from the city's downtown. They rushed home to his family in the southwest, and it was the Great Chicago Fire. And everything that he held dear, his house, the church, and the YMCA, burned to ashes. So, everything that he held dear, the last chain was when he went to New York City, he surrendered his will to God, and Moody went on to become the leading evangelist in the English-speaking world at the end of the 19th century. He traveled all over a million miles and preached and wrote the gospel to more than 100 million people. So watch what you pray for. You know, being baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. The fire, yeah. Yeah, not Mrs. McGillicuddy's cow, yeah. Sometimes God needs to burn down our plans to get us moving towards his plans. Abraham, called out from amongst pagan people groups, left everything. Noah, called out from all the families on the earth, went on to the ark. Moses was hauled out of the river amongst all the Hebrew children. David was called out from amongst his brothers. And literally, I don't know if you knew this, but David had settled in Ziklag, which was in the Philistine city, and the Lord had to burn it down because he had to go to Jerusalem. That's where he was supposed to be. Gideon called out from amongst the Jewish clans. Jeremiah called out from amongst all the prophets. We talked about that today. Esther called out from all the potential brides to be the queen. The disciples were called out from all the businessmen, all the fishermen. So, what's your purpose? What's my purpose? What is it? What's the Christian's purpose? One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's one. Go to heaven and take as many people with you as possible. That's another. Being remade in the image of Jesus. That's another. But then we each have a specific call. We need to listen to the Lord. I've struggled with that. I mean, I was going to be a dean of students and get my doctorate in higher ed. That was my plan. Years ago, I was assistant dean of students at the age of 25. God had other purposes. Stopped me right in my tracks. So being laid off with unemployment, food stamps, and WIC with four kids, all five years old and younger, and start a ministry, what, from scratch? Yeah, it's Tony's fault, yeah. So you need to pray and say, Lord, what is it? You know, we're predestined to do something, aside from being something. We're predestined to do something. How do we do that? Well, it says that we are predestined to adoption as sons. So to adoption as sons. When you're born again, you're a child of God. The child has to be mature to inherit what the father gives him. Okay? So we are children of God, but it also says that we're adopted as sons. So how do you move from a child to a son? Well, his solution was adoption. The way to heaven for a born-again believer is through adoption. Romans 8, 15, 23, and Galatians 4, 5, and Ephesians 1, 5. All talks about adoption. Romans 8, 15, and 23, Galatians 4, 5, and Ephesians 1, 5. So here's the Roman custom of adoption. Okay? Person doesn't have any child of their own. They adopt one born of another parent, and it grants material possessions and civil status as if they were naturally born. Well, it didn't stop there. They also bestowed adult status and joint heirs with the person. So, let's say a Roman soldier wants to adopt you. Okay? They go through all this paperwork, all this legal, you know, courts and everything else. You as an adopted child have as much and even more than a blood-born child. You know why? Because they went through all the hoops in order to adopt you. They can't write you out. Where you could write out like a blood, you know, not mention them in the will or anything. Adoption, no. You even had more legal rights. So, a legal position that only an adult can inherit. We are received into God's family as a child, but made into an heir by adoption. So if you think about, like, you know, the story of Annie and Daddy Warbucks, right? And here's Annie, this troubled kid, and gets in trouble with the law, gets adopted by a millionaire, okay? And you remember they tried to win her back. You know, they tried to get her back in the house and stuff like that. But Daddy Warbucks, he had the adoption papers. Well, that's what happens. So think about this. Think about, like, you're a renegade, you know, and one of us adopts you. And we fill out all the paperwork. And the police come to your door and they knock on the door. And they go, Emily, we know her. She's a renegade, you know. And all we have to do is take the papers out that show the adoption and say, well, Emily has a different last name. And would you please turn the lights off? You're waking up all the people in our neighborhood, and close the door on your way out, because she has transformed from this person to this person legally. You have a name change. You have an identity change. The whole thing. So, like in the book of Jude, the devil wrestled with the angel over the body of Moses. Why? Because Moses was a murderer. Remember when he murdered the Egyptian and hit him in the sand? So who's the murderer from the beginning? Satan. So he's wrestling over Moses. And the angel said, the Lord rebuke you. Why? Because Moses wasn't Moses anymore. He's changed. Changed by Jehovah. So, as sons, we are to be conformed to the image of his son. Romans 8:29. Everybody likes Romans 8:28, you know. There is therefore no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But the 29 is, I think, even better, because we're supposed to be conformed to the image of his son. So as sons, we're to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's what the whole adoption process is. Just because you get adopted doesn't mean you stay and you stop. You're going to go through a maturation process. But the legal rights that you have are even more than, like I said, a blood-bought son. According to his good pleasure. Okay? So this adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So it's not by merit, nor by goodness, by his own pure goodness and goodwill and satisfaction and delight. That's what good pleasure means. Goodness, goodwill, satisfaction, and delight. God's actions follow from his good thoughts and counsel. Now, forever and ever, you guys have always known that we did the truth train. Remember the truth, belief, action, feelings? We'll put God in the equation now. Truth. He is truth. Belief is his thoughts. The behavior is his action. And the emotions are his character. So you've got who he is, because he is truth, his thoughts, his actions, his character. So that's why it says his actions follow from his good thoughts and counsel. God doesn't have stinky thinky. He's got pure thoughts all the time. We do. We have stinky thinky. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Glory is an attribute of grace. Okay? Remember? Glory. Glory ask me, right? Remember we say glory ask me. Glory is an attribute of grace. Praise God for what he does. Okay? You praise him for who he is. And the word glory is doxa. What do you think that is? Doxa. It's not some little dog. Doxology. That's where we get the doxology. Remember? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Keep going. Here below. Praise him, all the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. There you go. Nice a cappella. So that's where we get doxology from, is glory. Glory. Sing of his glory and majesty. And we are in the most glorious condition and exalted state. Because of God. Glory is God's characteristic of being majestic. That's what glory is. It's his majestic characteristic. Okay? And later, it's going to be our condition that's promised to us after Christ's return. We'll be in glory. Remember, justification in Christ. Come on, we'll get these little theological words out of the way. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned, right? Sanctification is the process of being conformed in the image of Christ, or sanctification if you don't yield, right? And then what? Glorification, when we go and be with him. That's the three. Finally, we're accepted in the beloved. Now, this is kind of interesting because this tense, this Greek word is the perfect tense. So listen to this. I want you to, this is kind of a nice progressive type of thing. It's a completed action in the past. So we're accepted, right, in the beloved. So it's completed action in the past and having present and permanent results. So there's a past thing, okay? You're a perfect tense, completed action in the past. You're accepted in the beloved. And then also what you have is you have a present and permanent result. Okay. And because we're accepted in the beloved, who's the beloved? Jesus. He's the beloved of the Father. In fact, the word is par excellence. Par excellence. He is the par excellence of the Father. I am in you, you are in me, we're in the Father. Remember we talked about Mary? Mary, I'm going to go, what? To my God and your God, my Father and your Father. That's what you get in Jesus. So here's a question. Are you all in with God? You know the poker game? When they're playing poker and they put all the chips in and they go, I'm all in. I'm all in. So are we all in with God, or are we on vacation or taking a break? Well, we're getting a lot of mileage out of that one, aren't we? Are we taking a break from God, or are we all in? What happens when you're all in? You're totally committed. Yeah. You don't hold a chip back, do you? Everything. Nothing left to hold back. Just I'm all in. So, why don't people go all in with God? What holds them back? Fear? Control? Distraction? My way versus Yahweh? Love of the world? I mean, really, we got so many excuses. And we talked about this before. The five virgins that didn't have enough oil. You know, I'm sorry, but they didn't lose their virginity going back to get the oil. They still came, and the bridegroom came, and what happened? The door was closed. Well, you think, wait a minute, I was with the other group here. Hello, hello. And he goes, I never knew you. That's scary. That's the most scariest verse in the Bible to me. How about all the excuses that we talked about with the people last week? You know, I went and bought a piece of ground and I have to go look at it. Who buys something without looking at it? Well, I guess we bought that car for you without you looking at it, but you know, me and Zach looked at it. You know, who gets an oxen without trying out the oxen? We talked about that, not being unequally yoked, because the whole thing with the yoking and the oxen, and Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How about I got married? What's so wrong about that? Talked about that last week. We're the bride. And how many times have we married something else other than Jesus? And I got married. Yeah, I got married to the wrong thing. I'm supposed to be the bride, not the groom. I think sometimes the Lord sits up in heaven. I'm sorry. This always is. And he turns to the Father and goes, I'm not marrying that, Lord, Father. Fix her up or get her cleaned up. I mean, really? And he's going to do that, whatever it takes. Going to have a spotless bride. Yeah, warrior bride. You know, there's heavy brides, there's skinny brides, there's ugly brides, there's beautiful, you know, whatever you can put characteristic on, but there's never one with a spot on it. And I think sometimes he'll rub that spot out even to make a hole. So am I all in with God? Am I on a break with God? Am I taking a vacation from God because of fear? Control. I don't want to give control over. I'm distracted. There's certainly a number of distractions in our culture, right? Having things my way or the love of the world. That's the stuff that hinders us. And we miss out. Well, we miss out. And we're already accepted in the beloved. I think sometimes we're trying so hard to be part of the beloved, or to do something enough for God, or like we read about with the backsliding, you know, he'll never take me back. He couldn't take me back, you know. And we listen to the devil as much as we listen to him getting off the tracks in the first place. So, I think it's a good time. I really do. I think it's a good time to be around people that haven't been in church for a long time, people that have really been struggling with God's grace and his forgiveness, because you can point them to the fact that, you know what? You're already adopted as a son. And whatever it takes for you to mature into that sonship, he's going to do. He's going to do it. He did it with all these people, Abraham and Noah and David and Gideon and all of them. It's just that if we're going to yield or not. And I know, boy, I'll tell you what. You want to wrestle with God, you get your hip put out of joint. So look for the hip, not the lip. Okay, really. You look for the hip. When somebody's wrestled with God, they're going to be like Festus, you know. They're going to be limping a little bit. Because a lot of people give lip service. But you look for the hip. You can tell when somebody's wrestled with God and it's like, oh, okay, they've surrendered. Versus they keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. All right. Maybe we should come up with some adoption papers. Everybody needs to sign some adoption papers. Because that's what you are. Really? You got to bring all that paper to the front and say, no, this is the final decree. Yeah. But she's yours. So if somebody from India comes knocking at the door and say, we want her back. Sorry. There you go. That's right. That's right. The papers are signed. So. That's right. It's done. That's right. So you're a great illustration of being adopted. It's just now growing into a daughter of the living God. So, because the Lord says, put away childish things. He didn't say childlike things. You can still enjoy a swing or still enjoy a kite flying and stuff, but put away childish things. So, and that's how we become from a child to a son or daughter. Is the adoption process. So, and you become an heir by adoption. All right. That's enough for one verse. I'm telling you, it's going to be a long haul. But there's too much in here. You know, you just can't blow through here and just say, being pre-adoption as to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, next. There's too much stuff in there. So let's put your Bibles aside and let's pray. Lord, thank you for showing us that we're predestined as a people and also predestined to do something, an eternal purpose. And Lord, if it's like the story of Moody where you have to burn something down, then so be it. Sometimes you need to burn down our plans to get us moving towards your plans. So, Lord, I know that we have these Christian purposes. Show us our specific purposes, each and every one of us, because you have a specific call on each one of us. And, Lord, help us to remember that we are adopted. We are children, but we're moving on adoption as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And though the devil would want us back, though the devil would wrestle with an angel over us, the Lord rebuke you. And we have been changed because we are adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. So, Lord, we thank you. You're just even singing the doxology. We thank you and sing of your glory and majesty and your exalted state and your majestic characteristic, Lord. We thank you for that. And we thank you that we're in Christ and that we are accepted in the Beloved and that Jesus is the par excellence of the Father. And so help every one of us be all in with you, not holding anything back. And know that you have us in the palm of your hands. You're not going to let us go. So we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless as we give tithes and offerings. We thank you that we could give to Hannah and Vermel, Lord. What a timing that you had for them, especially as their baby's coming and their landlord is kicking them out. We just pray that you'd forgive him. But Lord, open up a new place for them so that they can continue to minister to the children over in India. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.